Chuck and Julie, bringing you the truth straight up.
I'm Julie Hayden, and I'm working at
an Emmy-winning former investigative reporter, a highly successful trial attorney, and publisher of a major Denver area newspaper. They've been partners as talk show hosts and in marriage as parents for over 10 years, providing thought-provoking information, opinion, and entertainment live, local, and interactive. Everyone's voice is always welcome on the Chuck and Julie Show.
And hello, everybody. Welcome to the Chuck and Julie Grassroots Show, Truth Straight Up, with me, Julie Hayden, and Chuck Bonnywell, who is in hair and makeup, but he's making his way down. Well, the Weld County Rhino scandal continues to grow. Yesterday, we talked a little bit about it, and today we have kind of like the man in the know from Weld County, grassroots warrior, Cody LeBlanc. Hey, Cody, if you want to go ahead and turn your camera on and unmute yourself, welcome to the show. Just a tad of background. So Weld County Rhinos last weekend voted essentially to not let 40 Trump-supporting volunteers into the county party as PCPs because they're rhinos. It's like, you know, because they don't like anyone who is not a uniparty establishment person. And it has created quite the scandal. So why don't you back us up? So you were one of the persons who recruited, I mean, volunteers, people got to keep in mind,
40
pro-Trump grassroots volunteers. Volunteers are the backbone of the party. It's not as if Weld County or any Republican Party, county party, has so many volunteers. It looks like, sorry, guys, we just don't have room, right? So you found 40 people who said, yeah, heck, I'd like to get involved. And what happened?
Yeah, so I'll just start from the beginning here a little bit. So back in the end of last year, we were getting ready for reorganizational meetings and just trying to finish up the end of the year stuff. For those that don't know, I am the secretary of the 8th Congressional District right now. And so I've been working with county parties in the 8th CD, Weld, Adams, and Larimer County, and then just being involved throughout the state for many years. And so when I was looking at the lists I saw in Weld County, we had 254 vacancies in our precinct committee people list, which is just astronomical. I mean, we do have a lot of precincts up here. As the Denver metro area grows into Weld County, it makes sense. But with that, we had a bunch of people that had volunteered with the 8th Congressional District, with campaigns back in 2020 and 2022, back then, they were conservative candidates, Perry Buck and a couple of others. But so these people have been involved since 2020 or before. One of them was actually a precinct committee person in Broomfield County, and then moved to Weld County and had been involved and has reached out and tried to be appointed as a precinct committee person. So we found these vacancies and I said, well, heck, we've got all these volunteers. Why not offer them up? And sure, the question's always, well, why didn't you just go to the county chairman? Why didn't you just go through the county vacancy committee to appoint these people? I chose to go through Chairman Williams because the way the state statute is written, the vacancy committee has 30 days to act from the moment that those vacancies become available. After that, the chairman of the county has 60 days, and then it requires ratification through the central committee. And after 90 days, it's the state chairman that can appoint with ratification through the central committee. At the end of the day, we're all Republicans, though.
Right.
At least we should
be. Let me back up a second and clarify. So, I mean, if the Weld County Vacancy Committee wanted to fill these vacancies, 200 some of them, they had plenty of time to do this. And this is, so people understand, this is not some bizarre, unheard of way of doing things. It's like, this is, you know, so just so people understand that.
Yeah, absolutely. And the law did change a couple of years ago because it used to allow the state chairman to appoint without ratification through the county central committee. As a proponent of local control, I've always been a proponent of that in every way, shape, and form. I do actually like the fact that it requires ratification through the central committee so that you don't have a state chairman just ramrod these people in. But my issue came when Chairman Williams submitted this list back in January. By this point, these vacancies had existed for over 10 months. Like, these weren't just vacancies that happened that Dave hurried up and found people. Like, some on the other side of this issue would like you to believe.
Right.
These are 40 people that stepped up that have been involved to fill vacancies that had existed for almost a year. So Dave submitted those back in January. The Weld County GOP Executive Committee, which also doubles as their vacancy committee, said that they don't have the authority to act on his appointments because it's very clear the Central Committee has to ratify that. This is important for later in this conversation.
Okay.
So I said, okay, whatever, that's fine. At the same time, Senator Kirkmeyer, who, if you know me and you know my involvement in the party, Senator Kirkmeyer and I couldn't be further apart on most of the issues. I'm grassroots conservative all the way, love the caucus, love the assembly process, and she runs bills to try and get rid of it. So we're just along for the ride up here in Rhino Land. I mean, Weld County. So, so at the end of that meeting, or right after that conversation, Senator Kirkmeyer said, we will not allow for Dave to just appoint people and stack the deck here in Weld County. That's not happening. And so as soon as she finished that statement is when Hunter Rivera, who was the vice chair at that time, now the chairman, who also used to work for Senator Kirkmeyer and many of the other establishment electeds here in Weld County, he immediately said, okay, then I move to nominate and ratify these 20 people that he went out and recruited. During the process, we found he admitted that these people were friends of his that wanted to serve so that they could vote for him for chair. I have that recording if you'd ever like to see it. He comes right out and says it. So
that was okay.
That's okay. It's okay for a candidate for the actual chairmanship here in Weld County to stack the deck in his favor. But somebody who's just trying to recruit volunteers and get people involved, that's not okay.
And let me run one thing, too, to clarify so people can follow along. So we're talking about a total of some 250 vacancies. You had found 40 people. So if Barb Kirkmeyer is concerned about stacking the deck, she had more than 200 people she could have gone and recruited if she wanted to, right?
Exactly. And they could have still held another vacancy committee meeting before the February 8th meeting, right, if they were worried about that. And so as we continued on, I was just rather frustrated. Two of the people that Hunter put in, two of those were in the same precinct as people in precincts that we had found volunteers for. So that's the crux of this, is two people. And so I filed a controversy and I went directly to the state party because it was a state issue. This was regarding the appointments that Chairman Williams did. It was not something that could be resolved at the county level. So I took it to the state executive committee, as our bylaws for the state party allow for. The state executive committee said, absolutely, that is wrong. Because Chairman Williams were in first, you need to have a ratification vote at the top of your central committee meeting on February 8th to correct this. If the 40 people are ratified, then yes, you bump those two people that Hunter put in for the two people that we put in. But if you don't ratify them, then okay, great. You've had the vote and we're all done. So state party directed them, put that vote at the top. They chose not to. They kept calling it a recommendation. Former Weld County Commissioner Lori Sain even tried to make the motion to amend the agenda so that we would be in compliance with the state directive. And they turned that down as well. At the end of the meeting, where they finally had the ratification vote, Commissioner, Weld County Commissioner Scott James stood up and made a motion to send this list of 40 back to their vacancy committee, back to their executive committee, who the last month had said, we can't act on these, but now all of a sudden they can. And so they pushed that forward and said, nope, we're not voting on it today. And the vote was done on February 8th. There was no vote to actually uphold the directive of state party. At that point, my involvement was pretty much done. By that point, my controversy had already been settled. I did notify Chairman Williams and the entire executive committee that Weld County was not in compliance with their directive. And at that point, the executive committee chose to reconvene and said, no, there are rules, there are directives. This is the governing body over all Republican organizations in the state. You have to follow our directives. And one thing that I missed saying here is that the decision from state party that told Weld County to put that at the top of their agenda came out almost 5 days before the Weld County reorg meeting. For those unfamiliar with our bylaws, they can appeal that decision. It's a little ambiguous right now on if you appeal it, does the decision stand, or do you, how does that piece work? Weld County did not appeal that decision.
They just ignored it.
They finally appealed it 40 minutes after the meeting started on February. So to me, they gave up all right to saying that we have an appeal to this when you had 4 days to do it.
Well, and here's the thing too, again, to clarify for people, the state party wasn't telling them how to vote. They were simply telling them that under the current laws of the party that they were a part of, they had to hold the vote, right? So it's like, again, keeping in mind that these are the same people who held the fake meeting and the illegal coup for which they're all being sued for, but that's a whole different thing. So it's not like these are rules followers, you know, but I mean, that's all. Nobody was telling them what to do or how to do it. They were just telling you have to have this vote, right?
Yeah, you have to have the vote because it was truly about those two precincts. And I'll be honest, if they would have come to me and said, hey, Cody, we know that you were the one that helped recruit these volunteers. Are you willing to ask them if these two people would step down and not be precinct committee people? If they would have come and had an adult conversation, I would have been happy to go back to those two folks and say, look, we're trying to make things move forward. Are you okay if we pull your name? I'll guarantee both of those individuals probably would have said, absolutely. We just want to make sure that the Republicans get elected and that we have strong conservatives fighting for our values. Right. But that never happened. And so we had to continue. I mean, I hate fighting Republicans. I'd rather spend my time fighting Democrats. But truly, are we fighting Republicans in our own party, or are we fighting Democrats that are in our party?
Well, and here's the thing. I would just say this. We're not fighting. They're fighting. All they had to do, and again, let's go back and keep this in perspective. These are 40 people who said, hey, yeah, after you talked to them, I'd like to get involved. I'd like to help elect Republicans in Weld County. I'd like to knock on doors, do all that grunt work. That's what it takes. And you'd think, again, that they would say welcome, right? And if they wanted to stack the deck, they had some 200 other positions they could have played with, right? And yeah. So this was just, I call it Dave derangement syndrome, right? It's sort of like the Democrats with Trump at the speech, right? A little 13-year-old boy survives brain cancer, Democrats won't get up and clap. Here's the thing, you've got 40 volunteers who want to participate in the Republican Party, and Weld County says, nope, they might be allies of Dave, so we're going to say, no, you can't come in our rhino tent.
Yeah. And you know, that's the part that's frustrating here is that once the state executive committee came back and reasserted their position of authority, which absolutely they should do. For those unfamiliar, I mean, the state executive committee under Christy Burton Brown's leadership did something very similar down in El Paso County. I mean, they took it over because they didn't like that it was so conservative down there. Right. And I mean, that's my personal feelings coming out in this, yeah. And I'm trying to just stick to the facts. But the facts here are that the state executive committee did exactly what they should have done, is reasserted their position of authority and said, no, you have to follow the rules. At that point, they did tell them, you have to rehold this entire meeting. Everybody in Weld County, all of our PCPs, we have to give up yet another Saturday and go sit in a meeting and have this fight again, redo all of our leadership roles, all of this. I, in fact, had more to lose than probably anybody because I was the only conservative to make it out of Weld County on our bonus member list. There might have been one or two others, but I was the only one, as far as I can see, on that list. So knowing that I would likely not be reelected as a bonus member to state, I still said, absolutely, this needs to be reheld. I'm not doing this because of a personal vendetta. It's standing on principle. We're the party of principle. We can't hold Democrats accountable if we're not holding ourselves accountable. And that's the portion that I'm trying to make clear here. So skipping forward to this past Saturday, though, on March 8th, we got there and Gregory Carlson, the state's parliamentarian, acted as our chairman for the meeting. That was a decision that was agreed to between Hunter and Dave, because Hunter and all of his crew did not want Dave coming up to Weld County.
Hunter being the GOP chair for Weld County.
Yes. And at that point, it was still a little unclear because technically he wasn't the chair. It was just what it was. So Hunter reached out to Dave, though, and asked him to appoint Gregory to be the acting chairman for the day. and that they didn't want Dave there. Now, if you're in all the Facebook groups, you'll see where all of Hunter's allies are calling out Dave for not showing up and not coming and being pansy about it. And I'm just sitting there going, this was your request.
Right.
But, you know, those that are good with spinning tails continue to spin their tails until there's no tail left to spin.
Uh-huh.
So, anyhow, we got into the meeting. The first vote was on the ratification. And I'm sure you've seen the list floating around. I saw it on Facebook today because state party did require a named vote. So it wasn't necessarily a roll call vote, but every ballot had a name associated with it so that they would be able to say, yes, this is very clearly they were ratified or they were not. And we know who voted for ratification. If you look at that list, they voted down 40 volunteers. They turned away 40 volunteers. 40 volunteers in a state that needs Republicans elected. They turned him down. And if you look at the list, not one single elected Republican in Weld County voted to have these people join us. They all said, nope, we don't need volunteers. That's Lauren Boebert, Abe Evans. We've got all of our county commissioners, minus one that wasn't there. I mean, it's just absolutely
absurd. How about representatives and state senators?
Yeah. We've got all of our
every single one of them. I mean,
every elected Republican that was there voted to not ratify these.
How many state reps and state senators did you have?
I can pull up the list for you, Chuck, but I can tell you off the top of my head, I know that Ryan Gonzalez was there. Barb Kirkmeyer was there. Scott Bright was there.
Is there a Pelton?
They don't reside in Weld County, so
okay.
They weren't eligible to vote, but
okay.
I can pull up the list and send it over to you, but not one elected.
I've got the list, but it was not a small number of state reps that are also there.
Yeah.
And so you had every elected official, which is impressive. I mean, you have every elected official from, and including Gabe Evans and
including Steve Reams, right?
Including yep. Steve Reams and the DA.
Michael Bork.
I mean, everybody was there. It's amazing. You got a great turnout to reject the pro-Trump volunteers. And I'm sure they were shocked that it actually was a list. Now they're revealing how they voted. And so now it was 120 to 30 or something.
Yeah. And you know, it's accountability, though, Chuck. I mean, I was explaining it and talking with somebody who I consider a friend, even though they are on opposite sides of the party from me most of the time, the former chairman in Adams County, Daniel Bellefontaine. We talked for quite a while after the meeting, and I explained it to him this way, that we're the Republican Party. Our country is a republic, regardless of what the education system wants to teach everyone, that we're a democracy. We're a republic. Our caucus and assembly system are the basis of the republic. I wish every state had a caucus and assembly process so that people understood that. But when you look at it, we're elected as precinct committee people to represent the 2,000 people that reside in our precinct, in our community. Of those, on average, we'll just call it 600 are Republicans, 600 are Democrats, and the rest are unaffiliated. It's just here we are. We'll leave it at that piece. But I should be held accountable by those people in my precinct. They have a right to know how I'm voting. And so all of this concern over their names were going to be out there and people were going to attack them. I mean, you're elected. You were here to represent your right. constituents.
No, they simply don't want people to know, right? They don't want people to know that they're rhinos. Because I'll say this, you know, you look at, I don't know what the heck is going on with Lauren Boebert, but I mean, she shows up in Adams County to trash Dave Williams. You'd think, I don't know. It
you
seems to me.
You can't blame her. She's looking for a date. She's got to go to various counties. She's got to go wherever who might date her because her old boyfriend right. went away. But it's important to kind of realize that what was behind everything, they were terrified the PCPs would in turn elect pro-Dave.
Even though he's not running.
Yeah, but it's nonetheless pro-Republican, pro-Dave.
Pro-Trump.
Pro-Trump bonus members. And that would help determine who is the chair of the party come March 29th. That was a great scare. Mm-hmm. Of them, and it's sad and it's pathetic, and the fact that all those people came out to a Saturday. I mean, getting elected representatives at anything is almost impossible. It really is. If you ever tried to herd them up It's impossible. But get the county commissioner. So that shows you the Dave derangement syndrome. I mean, that's unbelievable that many. And they wanted to show up and they wanted to have a voice for it because they didn't want people to know how they actually think. But lo and behold, there they are. And in talking to Daniel, I'm sure he agreed with you and walked over to the next person and said, "Man, that Cody LeBlanc is crazy. What a
Daniel
nutball."
is not known for. Well, and here's the thing I would like to point out too for folks is the PCPs, I guarantee you that these elected officials come re-election time are going to be screaming at PCPs to get and begging PCPs to get out and help them get re-elected, right? They're sort of the backbone workers of the party in the House districts. And you know, and if I were one of those PCPs who was rejected, I would be like, I know what I would say to Gabe Evans when his people call and say, "Hey, can you door knock for us? Can you make them
Donate.
phone calls? Can you donate to me or Steve Reams or any of these people?" It's right. They sort of like spit in their faces and said, "No, we don't want you right now. But oh boy, when I need you for me, you know, I'm going to be calling you," and you know, and then saying, "Oh, those PCP." It's just outrageous that they would do this, Cody.
And you know, I can understand it because it's not just Dave derangement syndrome. I mean, we have here, up here in Weld County, if you're there's always been several factions. I mean, that's true throughout the state. But Weld County is truly one of those places where it's been very clear. It used to be you were Ken Buck supporter, you were a Barb Kirkmeyer supporter, or you were one of the Colorado Campaign for Life crazies. I was one of the Colorado Campaign for Life crazies that switched over to Ken Buck's team as that slowly died out. As the Campaign for Life moved out of state. But we've always been in this power struggle. This is nothing new up here. Lori Sane has, over the years, it's become the Barb versus Lori, Barb
Right.
versus Lori. And so it's truly a Lori, it's Lori derangement syndrome with these
Yeah.
people up here in Weld County. They see Lori as being no different from Dave. I know on Facebook, everybody's calling Darcy Dave 2.0, and Lori, I guess, whatever. I mean, I'm happy about that. I like Darcy a lot. I'd love to see her as chair. I love Lori Sane, and that's who if I were voting, which I'm not, I'd probably love to vote for Lori. But
Well,
that's
but
just
you
my
know,
sentiment.
wait a minute. I did a little research, and I've been following Weld County from afar for a while. And in 2020 was a real change where it changed from one of the most conservative parties to one of the most liberal Republican parties in the state. And that's when Catherine Murdoch came in. She started something called Unite Colorado. She decided, okay, we'll play in Republican
She's a
primaries.
Democrat.
Well, yeah, she's a far-left Democrat. She's a daughter-in-law of Rupert Murdoch, and she's from New York. And she started the Unite organization. And she said, "Well, where can we get rhinos elected? We don't want these hard rock conservatives. We can win our own blue states, but we want to make the red states a lot more pink." So she poured money into Barb Kirkmeyer, an enormous amount of money in. Dan Wong, he also, and there are four or five others. And they were incredibly successful. They won all of them. And that's when the party changed over. It changed over from being a conservative party to a pink party of rhinos. And it's become, and Barb Kirkmeyer's led ever since then. She ran for Congress, barely lost in the first CD7 election, the CD8 election. And she's been leading them on. So it does have a kind of a more recent genesis to it going back to 2020.
I would agree that the extreme we've seen more recently, starting in 2020 and then again in 2022, but
Right.
all of this started with the open primaries. Once those
Sure.
passed, and our elected officials no longer have to be representatives of the party that they represent,
Right.
it all went to hell from there.
Yeah.
And so that's the portion that I really get frustrated by in this conversation is we have the conversation on we want volunteers, we want to do this, we want to do that. Well, why do you need volunteers? And to the comment about these electeds may want all of these volunteers to come out knocking doors for them in November, well, Okay, that's great for you, but most of them are already petitioning onto the ballot anyways. They're not going to go through the caucus and assembly process. They're going to buy their way there. I've been a caucus or bust person, is what I've called it. Hashtag caucus or bust was what I went famous for in 2020 when I pissed off Barb Kirkmeyer so bad that she and Will Sander and a bunch of others in Weld County accused me of committing election fraud just to get me to shut up. And all they did was piss me off more. And I'm still here fighting. So with that though, I did want to point out something rather funny that happened today. And it's not funny as much as it is rather angering, if that's a word. So I got a call from Chairman Williams this morning, and he told me, I'm forwarding you an email and I'd like you to respond because Hunter, the newly elected chairman in Weld County, reached out to him asking if he could have the contact information for these 40 volunteers because they'd like to appoint him through the vacancy committee.
Wait, didn't they just kick him out? I mean, didn't they just say, get out of our tent, you stinky Trump-supporting grassroots people?
Yeah, absolutely. And so let me just read word for word what Hunter said. Chairman Williams, the Weld GOP would like to request the contact information for the 40 individuals you recommended to fill PCP vacancies in Weld County in January. Our leadership would like to contact these folks to see if they would like to be appointed by our vacancy committee. I look forward to hearing back from you and contacting these folks. I mean, just how hypocritical can you be? Like,
I think
and
they want to dox them, I think is what they want to do. I mean,
yeah.
last weekend they said, go away, you stinky grassroots people. We don't want you in our tent. And now we're saying, oh, when and they were all there, I'm assuming, right? And now so we couldn't, and now he's saying, oh, can you give me their contact information so I can reach out to
So
them?
we'll take those and
What's it?
we can convert and throw the others out the door.
Oh, by the way, they love you and the conversation here, Cody.
I keep seeing him pop up and I get distracted. So,
what are they thinking and what is the response?
well, so this is where I'm really struggling on this. So Chairman Williams, as far as I'm concerned, he gave the best response he could have done, because he's not running for re-election. So at this point, the gloves are coming off, and he can actually say what he's thinking. And I mean, I'm right there with him. For those that don't know, I had my gallbladder removed on Monday. So I told Dave, I said, I apologize if my response to Hunter to because I've responded. I said, I apologize if it came off a little harsher than it should have. Maybe that was the painkillers talking. But I mean, it's truly where I'm frustrated in this. So Dave told them, we'll see what can be done, but it's very insulting to ask them to volunteer now after you denied them a vote this past Saturday. Quite frankly, this is blatant hypocrisy. It shows you want the free help, but not their input or diversity of thought. And it also shows your leadership was guilty of what you falsely accused me, Dave, of a power grab to maintain total control. So my
That's a
response,
pretty good response. I like that
I
one.
mean, I think it's a wonderful response. So I've basically reiterated that same sentiment and told Hunter that I'm not willing to give out their contact information. I'd reach out to them, and if they'd like to be connected, I'd be happy to do that. But what I'm offering instead is, why don't we have a Zoom call? I'm happy to coordinate a Zoom call. We'll get them all together and let Hunter explain to them why they were voted down, why they
Exactly.
weren't good enough on Saturday, why they weren't good enough in February, why they weren't good enough in January. But now he wants them. If that's the case, I'd be happy to set up that Zoom call and he can explain to them after putting them through this living nightmare of driving up to Eaton. For those unfamiliar with Weld County, it's a huge county. We're the third largest county in the state, land-wise. And so a drive from where I live at the south end of the county to where they host this meeting is about 45 minutes to an hour, depending on traffic. Sure, it could be a lot further north because we go all the way up to Wyoming, but it's still quite a drive. So you're asking these volunteers to drive anywhere from 45 minutes to an hour all the way up there twice now because they wouldn't do it on February 8th. Of those 40, which let me clarify, 27 of those 40 actually showed up to the February 8th meeting
Wow.
because they believed that they were going to be ratified that day.
Right.
By the time we came back to the March 8th meeting, a month later, we had a little bit smaller attendance. I think there were about 22 there in person or on Zoom that, again, were not allowed to participate. But I mean, quite frankly, I don't blame them not giving up another Saturday, knowing that they likely weren't going to be appointed after the shenanigans that have been pulled. And so my hope here is that we can all I don't want to say come together, because at this point, that ship has sailed. We're not coming together. We're trying to get Republicans elected. We want to get conservative grassroots people involved. And I'll find other ways for them to get involved and get engaged. I mean, we've got the Weld Awareness Network that I set up a few years ago that we did voter registration drives through when the Weld County Party was again just absolutely unwilling to participate. We have opportunities for these people to get involved. If Lori Sane or Darcy is elected state party chairman, I'm sure that there'd be a place for them to be involved with state party activities. Well, but Weld County is just, it's a lost cause at this point.
You know, Cody, and that's a perfect point that, you know, you would think, well, and that's explaining to people what this is really about. This is really about money and power, right? What you've got going on in Weld County right now is you've got some billionaires, you've got Phil Anschutz, you've got the Koch brothers, Americans for Prosperity, who funded Gabe Evans's campaign. And I'm sure the reason Lauren Boebert is acting the way she is now is she wants a piece of that pie, right? And let's keep in mind, the Koch brothers are firmly anti-Trump. They openly admitted they are recruiting Congress people to try to thwart Trump. They're being nice about it now, but they're going to—
Well, Trump said it best. He wasn't going to have anybody in his administration that was endorsed by Americans for prosperity. So there's no love lost. There's a slight time where they've kind of come together briefly and have broken apart. But I want to ask another.
Well, let me just finish my thought. So what's going on is you've got the big money donors controlling some of the elected officials, most of them in Weld County, and they're the minority. They're trying to hold on, just like the Never Trumpers, right? The Never Trumpers are not the minority anymore, right? It's the MAGA's Trump supporting grassroots people are in control now, and they don't like it, and they're trying to do whatever they can to get rid of those people. And I think that's bottom line, you know, what's going on here.
Well, let's talk about
it is
the biggest Republican contributor in Wells County. He was definitely part of that, Weld County, and that's Steve Wells. He's a rancher, oil and gas guy. He's put an enormous amount of money and then withdrew a lot of it from Heidi Gunnall. But he too, like all the other multimillionaires, is on the left side of the party. And he likes to remain in the background as Phil Anschutz did. But that's where the biggest contributor, the wealthiest Republican in Weld County goes. And do you ever hear anything from him? No. Does he remain in the background? Yes.
Yeah. And to that point, Chuck, I mean, Steve Wells has been involved for a long time in the background. I mean, you can ask even Lori Sane, one of her biggest donors for years was Steve Wells, because he likes to make sure that the electeds remember who gave them their money. Yeah. And so once you go against him, I mean, just look at Lori Sane this last time she was running for commissioner. Right. She was seeking re-election originally for her commissioner District 3. And then all of a sudden, Adrian Sandoval, the new vice chair in Weld County, who also happens to work for Congressman Gabe Evans, she was put up to run against Lori and primary her and had a budget unlimited to go after her. When Lori decided to switch over and hold Perry Buck accountable for going against the values and the principles that we elected her as conservatives. I mean, Lori and Perry ran as not really a slate, but they were the conservative choices in 2020. We worked for Lori and Perry to get them elected because we wanted conservative leadership. And so when Perry backed down on that, Lori stepped up and said, I'll run against you. If you're not going to hold true to the principles, I'm going to hold you accountable. Ultimately, it lost her the commissioner seat. I don't know that I'd want it with all the hell that they put her through during the time. But at the end of the day, I'm very proud of Lori for standing up for what she did. And Adrian still lost. We got our friend Lynette Kilpatrick. She stepped up that morning at caucus or at assembly and said, yeah, I'll run for District 3. Lori endorsed her. Lori nominated her. And what do you know? Lynette won. And Lynette is our commissioner now for District 3. So we've got one conservative still and Yay. Kept being out of there. But I
did
wanted
she,
to circle.
How did she vote on this? Pepler.
Lynette was not at this meeting. She was okay. The one commissioner that didn't attend. And quite honestly, I don't blame her. After she showed up on February 8th and she voted with us that day, she was treated like absolute dog Pucky. I mean, it was just absolutely awful to see how they treated her in the commissioner's office that week after the meeting. So I don't blame her for not coming. I wish she would have, but at the end of the day, I think she had a trip planned out of town that weekend.
Okay.
So
one thing too, though, is also people need to keep in mind is the Barb Kirkmeyer, so we call the queen of Weld County Rhinos, right? Barb Kirkmeyer does not want a caucus or assembly system. Barb Kirkmeyer would be happy to see the county Republican parties shrivel up and die, right? And have like a sign on the door, and that would be the extent of it. So I think part of their ultimate goal is to, number one, take over the counties, and then two, reduce the county's rule to nothing. Yeah. I mean, that's their ultimate goal, right? Because that's where the people's power is. And they just want to have the big donors tell them what to do so they can. And that it's so much cleaner that way, right? I mean,
they don't
want stupid volunteers, right? They don't want pesky.
What they want to do is they want to have a no caucus assembly system. You just petition on, which just takes money to have things, and then spend all their time trying to get the votes of independents and same day switching Democrats, who were the majority of voters, and ignore average Republicans. They don't want to have to talk to those stinky average everyday crazy people. They're disgusting as far as Barb Kirkmeyer and the rest of them are concerned.
And you know, I wanted to circle back too, because we have so many elected Republicans here in Weld County. I mean, I was thrilled when Lauren Boebert moved from CD3 to CD4 at first. Now I see it. I mean, I watched as she abandoned her constituents in CD3. Now she's abandoned these volunteers in Weld County, in the county she lives in. I mean, it's just crazy to think about that we've got all of these elected Republicans that many of them are known nationally. I mean, Barb Kirkmeyer, even though she's a state senator, she's known very well throughout this entire state and sometimes even out of the state. Then you've got Lauren Boebert, who's known pretty well nationally. You've got Gabe Evans, who's known as holding probably the most purple Republican seat in Congress. Yeah. I mean, these people have to get reelected. And to your point, is it because they don't need the volunteers if we get rid of the caucus and assembly process? We know where Barb sits on that. In 23, she put forward a Senate bill, I think it was 101, that would get rid of the caucus and assembly process. And that just shows her disdain for all of us that are out here on the ground that don't like this pay-for-play politics. And that's what it comes down to, is the grassroots have an opportunity to get power. And this isn't about power, let me clarify that. We have an opportunity to get power so that we can make sure that our values and that the principles of the Republican Party are being upheld through the caucus and assembly process, rather than wealthy millionaires and billionaires buying their way on or funding somebody's campaign to get them through and then having the unaffiliated voters vote for them. Right now, with these stupid open primaries, you can get the Republican nomination and not even have a single Republican vote for you.
Well, and the other secret, if it's a secret, is the Democrats don't have primaries. They usually have only one person, so it's boring. If you get a ballot from Democrats, it's boring because it's all just one choice. So a lot of them do what Karen Kathleen did on the reverse. They become Republicans for a day, and they vote, and then they turn around the next day and become Democrats.
Only now they don't even have to. Well,
they have to. But that constitutes, you know, some huge percentage of Republican votes, and that's why in the state legislature you have most of the people who represent Republicans have failing scores from the Liberty scorecard.
Well, and that right there is why I'm supporting Lori, just for you, for clarity here. I mean, Lori has one of the highest cut scores, the Colorado Union of Taxpayers. She's got astronomically high Liberty scorecard. And she's the only candidate that came out of the door swinging to close these primaries. Right. I mean, that is what's going to be so important moving into the next round of all of this. And it's not to get rid of people like Barb. Barb will still get elected in her district. I mean, Senate District 23 voted for her overwhelmingly against Natalie Abshire. That was a grassroots person that went up against her. People like Barb. It's not necessarily that they like Barb. It's that they know Barb. That Barb has a record that they can look at. Not a very good one, but Barb has
a record. Not a very good one.
And so
they can't be looking at her record, but she's got name recognition. She's got lots of money from donors And
she
she's
can spin a
gone.
good story to explain away her voting record.
Right.
Which is what? What's a good story?
She's been bought and paid for. No, I'm kidding.
But I haven't heard it because Barb doesn't speak to me. So, but
well,
you know.
And Cody, and that's the thing where, so people like, you know, this is, I think everybody needs to understand, this is a big deal that number one, we have had the RINOs and the uniparty establishment people in this year, number one, try to execute a coup over the elected grassroots leadership of the Republican Party. We have had the folks in Weld County ignore the Colorado Republican Party. The folks, the RINOs in Weld County have squashed any attempt by grassroots Trump supporting people to participate in Weld County politics. And what's really going on is just that they want these uniparty Weld County RINOs and others want to put the party in the hands of the donors because they don't actually care if we win or lose. The consultants get paid, the candidates get cushy, whatever consulting jobs, right? And if Republicans lose, they go, oh, well, it's Trump's fault. And that's what's really going on here is these are anti-Trump, anti-MAGA people who will fight tooth and nail anyone, any kind of grassroots Trump supporting effort, I think.
And then all you have to do is look at who showed up to the meeting this past Saturday up in Greeley. I mean, aside from the PCPs and the elected officials that all had votes, we had probably about 30 people from across the state. And I think I've told you before, I don't like to call any person a RINO. It's not a word I enjoy using and directing at somebody. Some of them I'll call a drawer, a Democrat registered as a Republican.
That's nicer because what? That's a nicer name because why?
Oh, it's not a nicer name. It's a very fitting name for a lot of them. But so we had a lot of folks that I don't necessarily align with. You can use the other term if you'd like to, that came from all over the state. I mean, we had Daryl Fallon come from down in Los Angeles County. We had Maria.
There were a bunch of Adams County people there too. What are they doing there?
We had all of these people come because they were just so, it's that Dave derangement syndrome coming out. We had Todd Watkins and his wife, Nancy Pelosi.
Yay, hooray,
the whole crew was here. And, you know, my favorite part about all of this, I take a lot of pride. I'm 27 years old. If I can piss off this many establishment Republicans that have so much money and I can live rent-free in their heads as often as I do, I've obviously done something right in the party. I mean, it was my controversy back in August that it led to the lawsuit now that's got Bretta and Todd and Nancy being sued by the state party.
That's right.
I filed a controversy over their coup meeting because I went. I didn't agree that it was a true meeting. I raised my objections because I believe that's what you do when you're standing on principle. You hold people accountable. If Dave would have ever done something that direction, I absolutely would have. There were a couple times where Dave made decisions that I didn't agree with, and you can bet your bottom dollar. Ask Dave. I called him up and told him exactly what I thought about it and asked for an explanation. If he couldn't provide one, I told him, great, you keep moving forward on that. I will not be supporting you. I will not stand behind you. And I'll even file a controversy.
Right. Well, then that's the way you handle it. Right. And that's the way you handle it. That's called, I don't know. That's why we get to have votes. Right.
It's accountability.
Yeah. And again, I think it is crazy that you had pretty much every Republican elected official. I don't know of any who are not in Weld County come to this meeting when they never go to meetings. Again, like I said, you think Gabe Evans and Lauren Boebert don't have better things to do than come decide about 40 PCPs in Weld County?
Turn away 40.
Turn away. Well, exactly. To turn away. And you'd think they'd be like, great, thank you. You know, talk to my campaign manager. Again, because, I mean, somebody needs to know, but they don't probably worry about it.
Do we have the list of the 30 people who were not part of Weld County that came?
I believe state party did require visitors to sign in. So I'm sure they have a list.
That'd be fun to look at.
Yeah. Well, you know, cause Cody, I know we've taken all of your time here. I guess you've got a lot to say. Yeah. Anything else, just kind of to ring it around and wrap it up that you would like.
Well, are you coming down March 29th, even though now, because of your own actions, because of your own principles, good principles, you're not a, not a bonus member. Are you coming down anyway?
I will be down there. You know, I've been a bonus member I think almost every year since I turned 18, and I've been involved in the Republican Party. And so this, I think, is actually the first time I don't have a vote down there, which is fine. I'm still involved.
Well, I'd like you to be down there because you and I are the same age, and therefore it'd be fun to hang out with you.
Yeah, but you know, at the end of the day, you can't get rid of me. No matter what Barb and all of her folks try up here, they've tried to go after me. I call Donald Dave just Colorado's version of Donald Trump. I mean, they can try and shoot at him all they want to, and he just keeps bouncing back. And That's what's happening up here in Weld. No matter what they throw at me, I'm still going to be here fighting for principle. They're not going to lose the thorn in their side. I'd be happy to get these 40 volunteers brought to the Weld County GOP, but Hunter needs to make sure that he explains to them why they weren't.
And that's a perfect, I mean, again, yeah, the hypocrisy of
that was one of Dave's better letters, I have to say. I mean, going, wow, there you go.
Last Saturday, they say you're not welcome in our tent.
Give us their numbers so we can.
Well, now that, you know,
we can burn down their houses
or something, you know.
I mean, that's just it. I mean, so many of these people, I mean, five of the people on that list were actually volunteers for Gabe Evans when he ran for CD8 before the primary. Like, they were there before Janik and Gabe's decision was made. There's another six of them that were volunteers for Perry Buck. There were another five that were volunteers for Terry DeGroote, who ran against Gabe Evans for House District 48, who now calls Lori Sane and I agitators.
I love that. That's from like the Graduate or something. You're an outside agitator.
One of the nicest things I've been called. But, you know, at the end of the day, I'm here. I'm not going to go anywhere. I'm still going to be fighting. Even if someday I ended up moving out of state, I will guarantee you that I will still be happy to just be like our friend Sherry Pife with Independence Institute.
She hasn't gone anywhere. She's always around.
I mean, I'll still live out of state, but if it's good for her, it's good for me. Play games and poke her down here too. So I appreciate your time.
And Cody, thank you for this, and thank you for the coming on the show, because I guarantee you, you will not read about this controversy in the Anschutz Media Industrial Complex or in the Denver Post, or if you do, somehow, you know, we're all going to be Satans, kind of thing, right? And so thank you for coming on and explaining it.
Satan background you got going there.
Yeah, oh, yeah, that's what they'll be like.
Yeah, well, I apologize for my red background. I couldn't find another one fast enough. So
no, that's good. That's good. So thank you for the work that you do, Cody.
Thanks for coming on and telling us all about it, and look forward
and keep
to
us
seeing posted. On the 29th.
Yeah, can keep us posted as what's going on, please.
I'll keep you posted, and I'm sure it won't be the last time that I join you on this call. There's always so much fun out here. So you guys have a great afternoon, and thank you for your prayers.
Thank you, Cody LeBlanc there, guys. And I know there have been a ton of comments here, guys, and I apologize for not being able to get to it. I just wanted to keep it kind of
a couple with Cody.
From Jim Jackson. Oh, from Dr. Donna. That means those of us who've put our blood, sweat, and tears, time, as well as money into the party. Oh, they're talking about should we form our own party, and she's saying no. Everyone's saying, thank you, Cody. And as Dr. Donna points out, Dave's not even running for state chair. No. So why is this even a thing, right? There was one comment, we should say, Julie, you're so right. I forget what it was about.
Where's that? I don't see that. I failed to pick that up. I know.
This is all leading into the March 29th Republican Party reorganizational meeting.
Jamboree.
Gay. Oh, that does remind me, though, you do still need to go to the Colorado Republican Party website, whatever side of this you're on, and go to the Steve Bannon. You can get tickets to Steve Bannon, who's going to be the keynote speaker.
What if you're a rhino? Don't bother.
But anyway, so we will stay on this because I think it is, like you were saying, you know, Catherine Murdoch, this is a Democrat plan unfolding with willing Republicans.
She must just be sitting back going, tee hee hee, man, those Republican rhinos are dumb. You can run them around any damn way you want.
That's right. Hey, that is going to do it for us, guys. We will see you all on Party Friday.
We may have a substitute.
Okay. Anyway, that'll do it for us. Thank you to Cody, everybody on Zoom, to Doug at BBS, guys, and we'll see you later. Thank you.
Take care, everybody.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.